This page is a depiction of the sources of Andrei Rublev's great image of the Blessed Trinity, and is also a reminder of the development from patristic times into the Middle Ages of themes that will be expressed by this great icon. There's a kind of tendency in our own day to imagine that Rublev had done something utterly and completely unique. And indeed, he created a very beautiful standard prototype, but it really is in the much earlier tradition of the Church, even in the patristic era, and then it's later working out in the early Middle Ages, that the forms and the context for this icon are presented, so that Rublev is simply adapting what already exists in his day and applying it in a way that then becomes standardized. And by looking at the sources, we can also appreciate that what he does is something which, although it is particularly vibrant and a particularly powerful statement of the Eastern Church's notion that Father, Son, and Spirit must be, in a sense, depicted equally, and this becomes the standard depiction of this, there is also in the West a willingness to distinguish between the divine persons by depicting the Father as the Ancient of Days from the prophetic literature, from the Book of Daniel and elsewhere, the bearded patriarch, and the Holy Spirit sometimes under the form of the dove, which is of course mentioned in the Gospels, particularly in association with the baptism of Jesus. This is not regarded as appropriate in the Eastern Church, and many would even say in the East that the depiction of the Father as the Ancient of Days is tantamount to blasphemy. So Rublev's icon becomes the standard and in some ways the only way by which the Trinity can be depicted. But I'd like for us, in being aware of the patristic origins of this tradition, to look then at the working out in both East and West of these traditions, noting the commonality and the differences as they come to be expressed much later. If we look at the first image, we'll see this almost cartoon-like depiction from the Via Latina catacomb of the early 4th century, and in it, these three young men are visiting Abraham. So this is a story, a depiction that comes from the earliest centuries of the Church and is already rendered as a holy scene, although not necessarily implying that it is a specific depiction of the Trinity. More characteristic of the notion of transcendence are these next two images from the patristic era, from Saint Maria Maggiore in Rome, on the left, and then from San Vitale in Ravenna on the right, respectively from the 5th and 6th centuries. And we can see now already developing these traditions which Rublev will make his own. The three angels are visiting Abraham in the icon from Maria Maggiore. It's attempting to depict Abraham as well as Sarah preparing the bread for them. And up above you can see the angels appearing. One of them is surrounded by a mandorla, by a very great halo, although they all have halos. And one catches the sense that all three are the same. That is, they all have, as it were, the same face. So maybe this is a kind of a prefiguring of what one will find in the later sense of this being God present under a single guise. In the same way, the mosaic from San Vitale shows the three angels, all of them sitting at the table in much the same way as they will be depicted nearly 1,000 years later by Andrei Rublev, sitting at the table, but here receiving the gifts of bread rather than the meat that is offered them in the offering vessel. But clearly, in both contexts, there is a kind of link to the Eucharistic celebration. Sitting at table, the divine is sitting at table, breaking bread, the hand extended in blessing. There is an awareness of the fact that this is a kind of a link, this is a kind of a symbol also of the suffering and the offering of Christ. Later images from the Middle Ages are to be found in the next set of depictions, both of which are very like and carry great similarities to what one finds in Rublev's depiction. On the left, one can see that Abraham is literally offering a gift, and on the table before the angels who are seated at it are gifts of bread and probably of meat as well. The angels again are all of the same visage, but notice that in the mosaic on the left, each of them has a different colored halo, kind of a sense of commonality and yet distinction. One catches a glimpse of the fact that maybe this is already an awareness of a prefiguration of a sense of the Trinity, and it is a tradition that is common to both East and West. In the cathedral in Montreal from the 12th century, many of the same features are found. One has Abraham bringing bread, and one has the offering of the meat, which is already on the table, as will be in Rublev's depiction. And here the angels again have the same face, are engaged in an act of blessing, and one can see Sarah standing off to the side, which is not in Andrei Rublev's depiction. So this is a reminder of the fact that Rublev is borrowing from, drawing on a tradition that is thoroughly established, goes back even to times of Christian persecution, images that one can find in the catacombs, and then later becomes a very standardized depiction in Christian mosaic work. So Rublev has not so much created spontaneously as adapted and very beautifully used an image of iconography that exists and is common to both East and West. And here, again, a little further down, is his famous icon of the Trinity. In the following century, a miniature from A Book of Hours shows the same scene done in Western form. The angels are three men. Sarah is very clearly laughing, and they are seen in various forms in the picture, receiving the gift of meat while sitting at table from Abraham. And then on the upper left, they're seen as departing, and below, Abraham is receiving them when they first arrive. So this particular story, this image remains a very powerful depiction of Christian hospitality, and it carries overtones, certainly, of the Trinity, but is not as standardized a way of depicting the Trinity in the West, even though it is known as an iconographic motif. As we mentioned, the West begins to explore different kinds of depictions which would not be appropriate in the Christian East, or certainly are no longer used. One can see in the Little Hours of the Duke of Berry, from the 15th century, a depiction of the Blessed Trinity as two figures with effectively the same face. Christ and the Father are almost indistinguishable, although Christ is holding the book and the Father is holding the orb, symbolizing mastery over the whole world. And the Holy Spirit is between them in the form of a dove, held up by an angel. And this is a reminder of the Western doctrine, which of course the East does not accept, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from, in this sense, is actually being breathed by both Father and Son. So there is a Trinitarian motif that reflects the fact that the Spirit comes from both Father and Son. This becomes a very classical Western depiction of the Trinity. And if you look at a similar manuscript miniature from Bartholomaeus Anglicus, one finds a very similar kind of depiction. Christ is in the same place. He's on the left. The Father is on the right. And they are now more clearly distinguished. It is not following the Eastern motif of there is only one face of God. Now Christ is holding the cross as his external symbol. The Father is holding a staff indicating his imperial authority and is wearing a kind of an imperial crown. And the Father is depicted as the Ancient of Days, the venerable patriarch with the beard. But again, the Holy Spirit is, as it were, being breathed forth by both the Father and the Son, who are holding together the Book of Life, who are holding together the book that holds the future of the universe and the names of the saved. Then as one moves into relatively modern times, into the era of the Renaissance and beyond, in this very beautiful painting of the Trinity by Albrecht Dürer from the Museum of Art in Vienna, one finds not just the depiction of the Trinity, again, the Father as Ancient of Days wearing the imperial crown, but here holding the Son as crucified, and the Holy Spirit hovering above as a dove. The manifestation is of the Father showing forth the suffering of the Son to all the saved, the blessed in heaven, who number among them holy popes and soldiers and nuns and people from every walk and rank of life. This becomes a more common or standardized late medieval and relatively modern depiction of the Trinity, which can only exist in the West because, of course, in the East, the Father can't be depicted in this way. And one has an image by El Greco of the Trinity, which is much the same. The Father is not holding the crucified, the crucifix itself. He's not holding the cross, but he is holding the crucified Son, rather in the same form as the Pietà, the traditional depiction of the body of Christ being held, as it were, cradled by the Blessed Mother. Here, the Trinity is the Father holding the Son who has suffered for the sake of humankind, supported and surrounded by both angels and saints, with the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove hovering above. So in these images, we have a kind of a flashing forward from patristic times, from the primordial bases of the depiction of the Trinity in the East, using the image of the visit of Abraham, the visit to Abraham of the angels, and then the adaptations and developments of this tradition that one finds in the Western Church, representing some distinctively Western features, but all of them drawing upon primordial models to be found in the patristic era.